basketball, but I just thought
you could bring in some basketball. We don't talk about basketball.
He doesn't? No. Really?
March Madness is the only thing that we talk about.
March Madness. I don't follow the NBA at all, though.
True.
And college basketball is just such a long season that it's hard to, like, pinpoint.
How often do you do this?
Once a week.
Once a week.
So we cover, March Madness. That's about it. Basketball.
You're actually, basically after the draft, there's a couple good tournaments, and then we get into this lull, like June-ish, July-ish. I'm gone for 2 weeks in June anyway, but like June, July is usually when we do the, we'll sit down and go through, okay, what are we going to do for the next season?
Yeah.
And figure that out. Because there's not much.
I know.
Specifically July.
I'm a lull.
And we'll probably end up taking a couple weeks off because of it. Yeah. But and figure out what we want to do. Switch up the whatever.
I didn't know. How's the pitch thing, MLB? Are people favor, liking?
I haven't heard much. I know that the games are significantly quicker. Like, it's shaving, like, significant minutes off of
don't
games.
Be crinkling that by the mic. Here, I'll shut your mic off. Oh,
NFL has just been dominating.
Yeah, I've watched their faster games, which
is
good.
Are you a baseball guy?
Yeah, Braves guy.
Yeah,
and they're faster, which is nice.
I might have to watch baseball again.
What was I doing? I was watching the game the other day, and usually someone will swing, and you're like, oh, cool, I got time to
come back, go make the kids some popcorn.
They're two batters later, and I'm like, oh, shit, we're in this thing.
Yeah.
So it has made the game a little speeder.
That helps. I think we hit on a little bit, like, the youth infusion of, Vlad Guerrero Jr., you got Tatis Jr., you got Bichette, you got, there's three or four other ones even. Just guys that were pretty iconic back when we were watching, and all of their kids are successful coming through. Obviously, Harper went in the World Series last year. I think baseball's taking a lot of steps in the right direction. Ohtani is a stud.
Yeah.
Man, but him and Trout on the same team and they can't win, that's just a waste of talent.
Ohtani can't throw every day and Trout doesn't pitch.
Yeah.
But they hit bombs anyways. regardless, they're hitting bombs. Baseball's making a comeback. I believe so. And which is good. It needed to happen.
They didn't have a choice.
It was dying.
Honestly say in the last 10 years, I haven't watched 10 innings of a World Series. And I'm a sports guy. Not a baseball guy, but I'm a sports guy. I love competition. I haven't
it's
even watched.
Tough,
I just don't care.
I think the thing that it's somewhat traditionalist, but like the thing that turns me away from baseball more than anything now is just the lack of expectation for a starting pitcher to do anything but throw 4 to 5 innings.
Yeah.
It's just, we just don't even care at this point. Like, we're throwing four dudes in the back end of the bullpen, like, when the game starts, that mindset. And it's like, man, you're giving that guy the ball. Like, that dude used to be
he was a grinder.
You had to come out, and it didn't matter if you were an ace in the MLB. There were very few managers that were walking out there and taking that baseball away from some guy.
Like, you're going 7.
And even when they knew
but they weren't giving the baseball away. Right. Like, now they're like, oh, yeah, my hamstring got tight.
Right. My fingernails clipped wrong.
Right. I think that's my biggest.
When Bobby Cox used to come out and pull Smoltz and those guys,
and they would
they would not.
They would just fist up, like, basically.
Randy Johnson, Kurt Schilling, all the guys on the Braves, like, Andy Pettit.
But they all got, the game has gotten soft in every sport.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I don't know if it's gotten soft, but it's gotten so specialized. I'm not saying that it's wrong, but they have dudes that are coming in throwing sidearm 98, coming in throwing right hand.
Let's not get into the miles per hour because they changed the way that they're.
I'm disagreeing. Okay. Entertainment.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're always live.
Entertainment factor. These are the best cut-ups.
They usually are.
But, yeah, I think that's what, for me personally, like, that's what I've lost in the game is just, like, all right, Pedro.
Yeah.
Like, dude's just going to go out, and he's going to find a way to get 8 or 9.
And he's not going to only bring his stuff. He's going to out-will. He's going to out-will.
I mean, Scherzer's about the only guy this day and age. There's a handful of other ones. Don't get me wrong. But, like, that is just going to go bulldog you.
Yeah.
And that's what, like, a starting pitcher mentality used to have to be. And now it's just, man, I got to have the stuff to get through 5. Oh. And then I'll throw 100 pitches to do it. It's a whole shift in the game. But I think it just takes some of that mentality of the hitter versus pitcher out of it. And it's just a lot more analytics these days than the mono stuff.
Right.
Okay. I've talked about baseball for 5 minutes.
You're good.
Oh, it, yeah. My, filled it. I didn't take my ADD pill today. So let's rock on.
He brought it on himself. You mentioned the pitch clock.
The pitch clock is up. The red light is on.
So we're going to move on to the wonderfully fast-paced game of golf just for you.
Well, it's actually a game I love.
So we're going to make you play this week just for fun, but we'll explain what we do each week with golf. So we do, as you can see here on screen, we do a one-and-done pick, which is a side pool that we're in, an outright winner.
On FanDuel?
Yeah.
Pull them both up.
And just because we check odds just to give.
Yeah. So let everyone know what's going to be out there. Be careful back there. Do not mess anything up.
And then our dark horse, or better known on our show as the Black Stallion, is we pick who our favorite that is 50 or 1 or better / worse odds, depending on how you want to look at it. An outside chance to win that we would take. We pick a top 40 and then a player to fade. And your player to fade has to be someone that is in the top 10 that you think is going to fade the furthest from the top 10.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So we'll help you along with it. But
going here? Where are you guys at?
So it'll be just on the very front page of FanDuel. You go to Wells Fargo Championship.
Yep, got it.
So
I'll help you. I usually look up the FanDuel. So
are you on? You're both on FanDuel?
Yep.
I've got DraftKings up. So like we'll intro it here real quick. Yeah. So this week is a newer on tour this year. We have the Elevated Events. So this is Combating Live, which has had actually some pretty good success.
They have recently.
Recently. So that's honestly, it's good for the game of golf, getting everyone together at the Masters and seeing that guys actually don't hate each other and they still play practice rounds together and stuff like that. It was just refreshing. So I think that actually gave Live a little bit of a breath of fresh air. And then the tours had good tournaments as well. And we move into the Wells Fargo Championship, an elevated event. And all that means is that there's bigger pot available and more of the best players in the world are going to be at the event.
Absolutely.
This one is at Quail Hollow in North Carolina, a very prestigious course and one that will challenge the players. It's one that's going to favor the long hitters. The rough is not very penalizing here, but putting is a premium. A little bit different because the greens are so large here. There will be a lot of green in regulations, but it's a matter of can bogey avoidance and three putt avoidance, and then how far can you hit it, and then go score on those par fives. And then just last year, Homa won, I believe, at 8 under, or the last time. Last time the Wells Fargo Championship was here.
Was that close?
Is that because it's such a long?
Yeah, and it's just there's definitely penalizing areas and the course is just long. And like I said, the greens
big greens.
Bigs are green. They're undulating green. So it's just you've got to put the ball in the right spot. Definitely going to be some three putts. I think Fitzpatrick finished second last time he was here at 6 under. This was also where the match play was held. So there's definitely been some success with guys in the match play event. President's Cup.
Yeah, you're good.
Was here last year in 2022. There's some guys that have had some recent history on the course that played well in that. Honestly, I don't really put too much stock in that. Spieth was undefeated in match play here. Ultimately, he just beat his guy head to head. You're playing the course Thursday to Sunday. So you can do with that what you want. I think the overall history, there's been plenty of tournaments played here, is definitely going to play a bigger role. But as we look at the field, I've got DraftKings pulled up here. I'll give you my top five. It looks like McIlroy's going out at +700. Cantlay at 1,200. Finau fresh off a victory at 1,400. Schauffele at 1,600. And then I've got three guys at +1,800. Hovland, Spieth, and Young.
So we got Rory at 700. Cantlay at 13. Xander and Finau at 17, and then Spieth at 19, and then we've got two ties, Young and Hovland.
So it looks like you got a little bit better value, actually, through FanDuel this week, which that's why we check each week. It seems like DraftKings a little bit more of the time when it comes to golf, but this week seems to be FanDuel with a little bit better value at the top of the board, at least. Also, big names at 2,200 on DraftKings. I've got Fitzpatrick, Thomas, and Morikawa. rounding out that field.
They're at 24.
They're at 22 on DraftKings. So again, a little bit of value there if you like an outright
A's
winner.
A's at 29.
Yeah.
So he's at 25 on here.
Yeah.
Homa's at 28, defending champion.
29.
Fowler's at 41 on.
Yep.
There's
fans. So you're good. I think there's a lot of good value. This is going to be a, I think it's going to be a great tournament.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's a great course because there's not a lot of worry about the rough here. These guys are already swinging. I'm trying to hit as far as they can. This is a course that just allows for that to be more wide open. So you're just going to see guys just get
killing it.
Yep.
Weather report.
Yeah, you ready?
Yeah.
Let's go.
I got it. So we've got Friday, 72.
Are you cloudy? You skipping Thursday?
Yeah, because it's perfect weather.
Oh, yeah,
like
perfect.
It's perfect. 72.
Sunny,
no wind.
So Friday is cloudy, a little humidity in there.
But no wind.
Saturday is where it's going to get not good. It's supposed to be rainy, high of 66.
Yeah.
Okay.
With some, and that's basically periodically throughout the day. And then you end up with Sunday being beautiful with 76, just cloudy and heavy.
So moving day is going to be the big day.
So Sunday.
Who can hang in?
Yep. Is wind limited on Sunday?
Yep, 6 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Wind's actually not crazy all week. Just the rain and
Saturday,
humidity
yeah.
and how heavy the air is going to be.
It's going to, and then that will have an effect on putting just because you're going to have changing conditions from that perspective. But the wind is definitely, I think, the biggest thing in golf. I mean, as we can probably attest to as amateurs, the wind's the one that messes with you most mentally.
My game doesn't.
It's not affected by any of it?
No.
It's like playing on a mini golf course. Yeah,
it's 230 yards every time I hit the ball right off the there. With that old
pitching wedge or three wood.
Yeah.
It goes 230.
Great.
But do we want to start top down? Or?
Yeah, might as well go top down. Make it easy on old Drew over here.
So I'll start just because I've put my one and done pick in. It is riding a guy who has played extremely good golf this year, been consistent, an old timer on the course these days, and we've talked a lot about him, but maybe had our picks as we've gone a little bit through the year, but I'm going to ride Jason Day.
J-Day!
To victory. He's had a little bit of success here over the years and played well at Quail Hollow, but I think he finds a way to get it done.
Hey, can't be mad about it.
Weather's going to be good. He seems seemingly healthy, and I like his number at the 2,900.
Absolutely. I can't be mad at it. I already have Homa, which I like this year going back to backs with people who played well here. I'm going to snipe in here on my one and done and go with Fitzpatrick for basically the same exact situation.
Yep.
Plays well here. And I don't have very many spots to put him.
Sure.
Assuming I didn't use. I will look.
You're on the clock.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Ricky Fowler.
Get you.
Ricky.
Yeah. Another guy that's been playing well. Day and Fowler both been playing consistent all year.
Having them back is fantastic.
I would love to see that.
Yeah.
I think that would be a great Sunday little showdown there.
So outright winner. This is essentially just gives you another chance to pick a guy that you think is going to win. So you can double up if you'd like, or you can go down the board and try to find some more value, whatever you're feeling.
I'm going to go with Justin Thomas.
He's due.
Yeah. He's been very dry lately. Odds would say he's due to break out.
It's 2,400.
Yeah.
Which way?
You know who you want?
No, not yet.
All right. I'm actually going to drop down a little bit and hope that the rain maybe has a little more impact on Saturday than possibly what's forecasted. I really like your Fitzpatrick pick, but I'm going to Tommy Fleetwood.
Oh, okay.
And honestly, let's shy away from that because if he's at 55, then I got to take him as my black stack.
Absolutely.
So that's just feels like amazing value. Sorry, I'm skipping ahead there, but
no, you're good.
At 5,500.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Man.
Like that.
So let's do this then. Let's slide in with
Zahid Theegala.
He's also one of my new favorite guys. He reminds me a lot of Finau. They have a lot of similar mannerisms. Also a great guy around the tour. And he's got him and Dan Rapoport actually have he's working with him. Like Rapoport like walks around and caddies for him. and they just do, and it's coming out on Netflix, I think, tomorrow. So looking forward to that. Love Dan Rappaport on Twitter. Love what he's doing with Barstool and the guys there. But yeah, we'll sneak a little Sahith in there.
I'm young. I'm just going to go with a bomber.
Yeah. A little long ways. That's pretty sure. Yeah.
You'll learn that I'm more of a gut guy. I just look at it and say, does that feel good? And I go with it.
Yeah.
And it works out. Overall standings. Look at our points. He does all this research. Yeah, he wins more money, but come on. Be real.
If only I had that money.
Yeah.
Hey, if we had that money, we wouldn't be sitting here. We would be somewhere else. We'd be doing the same thing, just not just
in a different
place,
in a different environment.
Yeah.
Probably just got done playing 36.
Yeah, probably. Oh, yeah, I snuck in with my Black Stallion already. Let's leave it to you guys to try to find your... There's a lot of value out there,
okay,
guys.
Give me...
There is a ton of value.
What's the Black Stallion? What does that mean?
Plus 5,000.
Yep, yeah. So plus 5,000 or better odds to win. So just basically looking for a little bit longer shot to
win.
Okay. Yep.
All right.
I just can't believe some of the names here.
There's so many.
I got mine.
All right.
Do Adam it. Scott.
What's he at?
12,000?
You mean?
12,000.
Yeah, that's 12,000, bud.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll be winning some money.
Adam Scott, I don't even see him on my, what is he on, page 6 or 7?
He's down.
Yeah, he's plus 10,000 on mine. So again, plus 12,000, like you're getting even.
Man, you got Lowry, Bradley.
Scott, has he just had terrible course history here? There's no way he should be plus 12,000.
He's a darn good golfer.
Yeah, he's playing well this year. Yeah.
Playing really well. Oh, man. 4, I would pick.
I mean,
he's not an extreme long ball hitter, though, is he?
No, but he's
good around the
average.
Average.
But average now is perfectly fine. Like, he's not getting bombed by.
Yeah.
You know what? I haven't picked him this year. Give me good old Shane.
Shane Lowry.
Lowry.
All right. Top 40.
Just some great value. Just a guy that sticks out to me who's been playing really good golf is Keith Mitchell at 6,500. Was just a guy that caught my eye. He hits the ball a long ways, but he's been in contention in every golf tournament.
He was one of the ones I had to choose between.
So I was just another guy that popped out to me as being up there. He's probably even more on FanDuel if he was 6,500 on DraftKings.
FanDuel doesn't have a top 40. We only have a top 20.
I've got a top 40.
We're using it then.
So top 40, the rules we put on this, Drew, are they just have to be plus 100.
Okay.
So my top, I'll give you a top handful, but Siwoo Kim, Chris Kirk, Patrick Rogers, Emiliano Grillo, Taylor Montgomery, Kurt Kitayama, Cam Davis, Adam Scott, plus 120 for a top 40.
Excuse me?
Yeah. I might just stop
here. What is going
off
with?
I will take Patrick Rogers at plus 105. I think he's a dark horse to sneak in and maybe a top 10, top 5 even. So I will gladly take him in the top 40 at plus 105. Your boy Bo is at plus 130.
Bo? You know what?
Big just baby Bo Hostler.
We've had a month off. Give me Hostler. What is he, plus 130?
Yep.
And you've got who? 105?
Patrick Rogers. Aaron's other brother.
Aaron's other.
Wait, the family didn't talk to?
Drew, anybody jump off the page there when I was talking?
Gosh, man. All your plus 100s or more.
Seamus Pout. Davis Riley, fresh off of his.
Take McCarthy.
Danny McCarthy, plus 120. McCarthy. All right. Last, certainly not least, player to fade. So this player is a current top 10 projection and will finish the furthest from their projected position. I actually have 3, 9, 10. Oh, do I want to do it?
Are we really do? Entire list.
I'm gonna go Xander.
Ooh.
Every time I go Xander, bites.
He's fourth on mine. I don't know.
He's third. T3. So you will want.
It's all right.
A four.
What the heck do I have to lose?
Shitty shot.
Shitty shot.
We will find you.
Maybe. We will find
you. Oh, man.
And gut you like a fish.
Just don't know if I'm ready for JT to do anything.
You can't go against our guy, Tony. Back-to-backs are, we know this, extremely rare.
And he's long and like this.
But you just can't do it.
Like, this course fits him. Spieth played well here. I don't want to go against him.
I'm going to jump in there here. I'm going with M. He is one.
He's right on the fringe from
T6.
Oh, really? No, he's going to want Schauffele at third because you want to be able to fade for higher. Just like you want him sixth and not 10th like he is on mine. What's JT on your? 7 on one.
T6.
I'll take JT. Against.
Oh. Yes. Yes. All right. So why am I so excited? Because when you fade a player, okay, and someone has said player an outright or one and done, the double. Automatic double.
Okay.
Yep. Automatic double, and I'm so excited about it. So
that's why I was reluctant, but
yes. But yeah, hey, you had to pull the trigger.
It was either him or Rory.
Yep.
Ultimately.
Yeah.
So
me, and I think
double shot there. I cannot wait.
Rory plays so well here. He's already won here three times. I just can't.
Any side bets? You got any side bets this week?
Any side bets after I put a double on my aid?
Oh, I love it. Oh, I'm so happy. See, I mean, great things happen for me, for the squad, the pod.
The top two guys, allegedly, but also in the world, are not playing this week. Does that take anything away from this tournament for you guys?
No. Rom needed a break.
Right.
Yeah.
He chose to play in Mexico because...
He played three weeks in a row. He needed a break. I don't... So for me, like, him playing would have been a non-factor because I don't think he would have played well.
Gotcha.
So it doesn't matter.
I just don't know that guy's capable.
No, I know, but he needs it. For the rest of the season, we need Rom to rest. Yeah. Okay?
Big picture.
Scheffler, I don't know why he's not playing.
You had to play 6 out of the 8. I think it's elevated events.
We know Rory was playing.
So Rory didn't play the last one. Got fined big money for it.
So my question, let's back up.
Missed one.
You know this rule.
No.
If you withdraw because of an injury, does it count?
No.
Are you sure?
I'm fairly certain.
Okay. So when we just see withdraw, since we saw McIlroy withdraw, we never knew the pure reason.
Right.
We assumed.
Did you see the interview today? Yep. So he withdrew for what he called personal reasons and then what he also called mental health reasons.
So
not playing well at the Masters. After dealing with and being the mouthpiece for the PGA this year, it just wore on a dude. Yeah. First of all, he had to accept a role as the only person who would really take any type of legitimate questions from reporters about the PGA versus LIV stuff, because the commissioner of the PGA Tour is a douche and just won't stand in front of his product. I don't like Greg Norman, but at least the dude will answer questions. So Rory was doing all of that, transitioning into Tiger's League stuff, and then trying to win a golf tournament, which in his mind, his game fits Augusta so well, and he just can't figure it out.
It does.
And so to probably know that he, in his whatever, call it 12 practice rounds leading up to Augusta, probably shot in the 60s, dare I say every time, to come out and do what he did, had to be just so disgustingly disappointing to him that I get it. And I don't know what he got fined.
$3 million.
The dude's worth hundreds.
Clearly, for him, it's not a big deal. But like,
fine and a slap on the wrist.
Yeah. But like, to the point I'm getting with, clearly that's a mental health thing. Yes, he played shitty and all that, but you're gonna fine a dude for that?
They're on the rules are the rules.
But I'm saying though, that's technically a withdrawal for some type of injury. So now we're downplaying mental health at PGA?
But you can't withdraw at the point that he did, not give that reason at the time.
Correct. I agree there. No, he didn't.
And he also did not want to be on the interview list for the Wells Fargo Championship. He got side interviews even to get that information.
But should you have to disclose that, hey, I'm going through some mental stuff? Make it worse?
It's just such a fine line.
It is. It's a very slippery slope. It really is.
When we're talking this kind of money, then the fine line raises, right? So when nobody should undervalue mental health, but when you're in the public eye and we're talking this kind of money, then people are going to question everything.
Up.
Yeah.
You got to show up.
Yeah.
Because the mental grind is part of greatness.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Fair or unfair.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever been great if it was weak-minded.
No.
I'm sorry. Just a fact of life.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to call it a mental rest, that's fine, but you got to take it for what it is. Yeah. And you're $3 million.
Yeah.
And he obviously didn't balk at the $3 million, by the way.
This isn't an Antonio Brown.
A guy going to the factory saying I was making $32 an hour on the factory line and has some mental health stuff and his days of missed work are up. He's getting docked.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
You're not going to.
Sometimes you just got to show up
with a box of
or you got to accept the consequences. Yeah. I don't think it's devaluing mental health because I'm a huge mental health advocate, but it is what it is.
Oh, yeah. Nothing wrong there. Nothing wrong there.
I need to. Drew, do you know who Annie Agar is?
I don't.
We have to introduce Drew to Annie.
Oh, is that it out?
I think I put an Annie video in there for her, I think, pre-draft day. Do you follow Paige Sporanic on Twitter?
No.
You would definitely know if you did. I don't think I put anything.
Put
Annie in here.
So this is Annie Agar. She does Chris Hassel type of spoof videos.
Yeah.
So this is her pre-draft video, and you just have to listen and enjoy the shots as they go back and forth. Yeah. And she's basically reenacting herself as commissioner and different teams players.
All right,
she does this weekly during the season for sure.
Yeah,
just okay.
So
this is great.
She's one of
our guys. Friends. I have a job where I can't just be on Twitter all day.
Like, hey,
do you?
Oh, I do.
Okay, what do you do at night then? What do you do at night?
I drive an Uber service.
It's just a question we don't ask, Drew.
Yeah.
We don't ask, Drew. All right. 2.5 minutes.
Did you see what his mug had in it? It wasn't ice water.
No, it was not.
Okay, everybody, it is draft week. I just want to give a quick shout out to Aaron Rodgers. Thank you for not ruining our draft completely this year. You just ruined the past 2 months. So I just want to put the word out there that we're back. Were you ever here? Whatever, we're winning a Super Bowl, okay? This is the most complete team he's ever played with. We have Garrett. I give him a year in New York, then he retires. He has to stop in Minnesota for guys are all screwed. Zach might talk to Aaron Rodgers' mom before he does. Okay. We're here to talk about the draft, all right? So just, what do you want? I just want to say we fleeced them, right? We wanted that first rounder. We got it. It's conditional. Your quarterback's conditional. Look, he's 90% retired, and he's probably under Burrell somewhere right now. Also, good luck getting him to do anything in the offseason. Actually, he's here right now. He's what? I'm going to make this dude like hell every day in practice. You're going to make him watch you try to throw a screen pass? Get the blue check mark, John Wilson, out of your bleed. There is a draft happening this week, people. Do we not pick? We are winning the North. You want to bet on them? Sorry, I'm late. Did I miss roasting your Rodgers yet? Please tell me I did. Can we just talk about the draft, please? All right, there are a lot of question marks going into this year's draft. We've moved around quarterbacks so much, I'm starting to feel like 49ers. Carolina, you are now on the clock. If there's one thing we do every year, it is absolutely nail our first round pick. Just the pick. Okay, Bryce Young or Will Levis. Oh, dear Lord. Can somebody just get CJ in here, please? Oh, he didn't show up today. Great. Don't tell Brady Quinn that. Shocking. Quarterbacks from Ohio State usually work out so well in the NFL. Oh, but once from Alabama, Florida, and Kentucky do. Tim Tebow won a playoff game one. Game one, quarterback. Justin, I said quarterback. The S2 test, how accurate is it? Anthony Richardson is more accurate than the S2 test. Okay, good. We are a little worried about decision-making. Why would you be worried about decision-making? You hired Josh McDaniels. CJ's right here. What are you guys talking about? This is Arizona. Will Anderson is still available. Brad's interested in a trade. Great idea, considering Arizona will probably have a top five pick next year, too. Between Anthony Richardson and Will Levis, trying to figure out who has the higher ceiling. Well, that's great, because Anthony Richardson hit the ceiling, so it was supposed to be a slant route. But Will Levis can throw the ball 65 yards from his knee, which is great, because when he's down by contact, he can still throw the ball. That's helpful. Jamarcus Russell threw 70 yards from his knee. In the league, he threw to the other team. Okay, does anybody actually want to get through this draft? I should have traded up for the number one overall. You could have traded Kyle Pitts or Drake London. You don't even use that. How would we get Michael Crude open? We're taking Bijan Robinson. It's not even your pick yet. We had Zay Flowers out for a visit. That's got to be tough to work out with Mahomes and then catch passes from Mac Jones all year. Got to be tough for anyone to catch passes from Mac Jones all year. Joke's on you, we're not even taking Zay Flowers. We're going to trade down in the first round and take some run-blocking offensive players. Lastly, for the seventh straight draft, the Rams do not have a first-round pick. Coincidentally, they also do not have a kicker, punter, or long. Okay, that's a wrap, everyone. Oh, CJ, where have you been?
Sorry, I'm late. I just had my birthday party, and all of my teammates showed up.
She's a gem.
She's a gem. And gets at it, which is great. No holds bar.
She's also a Packers fan.
My respect level just slid a little.
It's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, she does something like that every week during the NFL season to recap weekly stuff that goes on. So she's one that we usually will play on a weekly basis.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that was highly enjoyable when I first saw that before they came out, like a day or two before the draft.
Always good. Always good. Anything else you want to leave us on?
No, guys, just thanks for having me on tonight, and this was a lot of fun, and maybe we can bring some more college or high school stuff, but
Absolutely. Did you tell them about Coach's Corner at all, that segment we have?
No.
And I didn't know. We're not going to do that today, but for all our listeners as well, just get a refresher. Coach's Corner is usually when we'll bring up a coach's perspective, whether that we're breaking down film.
Yeah.
High school, college, doesn't matter. Or we're going through rules, regs, things that are happening.
I'd be interested.
Yeah.
That one's a fun one. We really want to get that. And then we also interview athletes. Oh, so college, high school, it doesn't matter. We're really trying to reach out to that. And then our bigger picture thing, and we're nowhere close to it, we'll be doing some NIL stuff and really pushing and helping like athletes be recruited.
Yeah.
Because how we had to go through recruiting is nowhere near what it is now.
Yeah.
But it's still being loud and getting your face out there.
Awesome.
Without further ado, we're going to do something a little different with the cut-ups. If you guys are listening at this point, I'm going to cut them into segments that actually get us better downloads. However, in the last week, we've gotten over 100 downloads.
People missed us.
We haven't done anything for a month.
So they've missed us. We'll get this one out. Stay tuned. We'll break those down. Now that we're a little later, we'll spread those out on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Yeah, listen to us Tuesdays. 8-ish, we'll call it.
We're at 8-ish now, and then we'll let you know, but 8-ish on Tuesdays.
We're a moving target.
Yeah.
We have these things like called families that kind of run our schedules.
You know what? You find us. You'll see it.
They did.
Just subscribe, and you'll find us. Yeah. It'll be fine.
Exactly.
It'll be fine. So.
Great to be back.
Oh, fantastic to be back.
Love the new space, and look forward to. Yeah. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
We're working progress.
Stoy's got a great setup.
Yeah. Yep. We'll figure this thing out. So, awesome. Lincoln, you want to say anything? Speaking to the mic, say goodnight.
He's tired.
You see those eyes?
Yeah, oh yeah.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
You.